Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for our Savior. What a shame it is. It was truly, Lord. They recognized him and put upon him a robe of purple. They hailed him as king. But yet, Lord, they mistreated him. They smote him upon his head. Whip him and torment him, mock him, spit upon him. Oh, what a shame. It was truly, Lord, a dreadful day, a terrible day for the King of Kings to put to such a shameful display before all the people that stood around. And there were those that jeered him to have him crucified. They know not that he was their Savior, one who was to be their King, the King of Israel. And he was led to the cross, to Calvary, and down upon that cross he hung with his arm outspread, reaching out to the world, and said to whosoever will come, and let him freely take from me the breath of life, the living spirit of life. To take from him the peace, the rest, the mercy, the grace, all the great, wonderful, godly virtue that will flow, that flow out from him, Lord. Flow from his belly, living waters. Lord, we thank you, Father. The foolishness of preaching the gospel, even the foolishness of even giving a gospel to a world of sinners, that one man should die, even as Caiaphas said, that one man should die instead of the whole nation. And yet one man died for the whole nation of Israel, and even for all nations of the world. And truly, when he died upon the cross, the arm outspread, and he just invited whosoever will come. Let him take of this water of life freely. Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this grace this morning, opening our eyes to see the revelation of your great eternal love. We pray, Father, even in this world, as it begins to die now, there's some many, many distresses, Lord, all over the world, and pain and suffering, and Lord, we know the time is not far now for the coming of the Lord to really finish up this whole thing. It's been 2,000 years since has been waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are those foolish people that says, "Where is your Savior coming back? It has been so many years now." But Lord, we surely know you are coming by, because thy word has so foretold of your first coming, of the event that would take place, and so would be, Lord, the second coming of our Lord and Savior. So we look forward to that day, Lord. Even now, Father, we have this privilege to be able to come together and sit under your feet and learn of you. We pray that, Lord, you touch us now, we pray. Open our understanding to thy word. Bless those who are not here today, and bless those that, because of some work that they have to keep, that we pray that, Lord, you be with them even so. And those that are in affliction and frustration, we pray that, Lord, again, your spirit, Lord, continue to touch their heart and their spirit, Lord, to show them your love. And that they should turn away from their pain. If they were just called away, call out to you, you will surely come and touch their pain and remove it. But many, oh Lord, we know they are just stubborn. They are frustrated and they are prideful, Lord. Only ask for your grace to be with them. We come in this time now to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Last week we have dealt with the offering of Isaac. God, you know, was testing, of course, Abraham's love for him and Abraham's faith in him. And we ended up with chapter 22 and verse 14. How did Abraham call the name of that place? Jehovah Yireh. Yireh. Jehovah, well, sometimes in a modern language called Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Yireh. As it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. And in the mouth of the Lord, and that's where is Mount Moriah, the Calvary place, at the same time Mount Calvary. And it shall be seen that there was the cross, the Lamb of God, that took away the sins of the world. And verse 15 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because you have done these things, and have not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Again, the Lord reaffirmed. Alright? Reconfirm and reaffirm his covenant with Abraham. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obey my voice. And this scripture, verse 18, came to pass because in Christ Jesus, who came to Isaac, you know, Isaac was the son of Abraham. Isaac did not give birth to Jacob, and Jacob gave birth to 12 sons, which make the 12 tribes of Israel. And out of that one tribe came forth the tribe of Judah, and which came forth that lineage where Christ came. That was the seed that God promised Abraham, not just Isaac. Isaac only was a physical one, but the one that God promised Abraham, that I will make you a father of many nations. And that was the seed, the promised seed, the spiritual seed, that was Christ Jesus. Alright? In thy seeds of all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after this thing that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Michal, she have also born children unto thy brother Nahor. Hurts his firstborn, Bush his brother, and Camuel, the father of Aram, Kisel, and Hazor, and Thirdash, and Yalop, and Betuel. And Betuel begat Rebekah. This eight Makar did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Ramah, she bare also Tabar, Gaham, and Tahash and Maaka. Now all these are just given information. But let us look at the chart here now. Here, now, the story introduced that family of Nahor. So that there is a relationship here now that God wants us to pay attention to. Now when we look at this chart here, you know, God chose this man, Abraham, and he's actually keeping the genes pulled together. Because you know one thing, when God created Adam, and then he brought forth Eve out from his side, so that Adam could reproduce children with eternal life. But Eve did not wait, and Satan came, and serpent came along to seduce her. And in her was planted the seed called Cain. And Adam's seed was Abel. So in the womb of Mary, there were two seeds. The seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam. Two male and one female. And in the one female were these two seeds. But these two seeds were not of the same kind, not of the same family. Cain was of the serpent and Abel was of Adam. So now after, you see that after the flood, you realize that the Lamech, you know, the Lamech of the descendant of Cain, he was the first person to introduce polygamy. Right? He took two wives. So now, a male with two females. Now, polygamy was not introduced by God. Because in the prophecy of Adam, when Adam was created, and Eve was made and brought to Adam, Adam said, "Thou art born of my bone, flesh of my flesh, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and join to his wife." And that's how important it is when a person is married. He no longer should stay with the parent. They should, the couple should leave the parent and form their own family. And Adam said, "You are born of my body, flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave his wife. And they both shall be one flesh." Now, there is only one man, one woman. You cannot produce until you have a male and a female. And only when they are joined together, they can see that in their children. Do you understand? God did not give Adam another wife. But you see, the serpent seed that came later on, the descendant of Cain's line, one of them introduced polygamy. He married two wives. But after the flood, later on, we see that, well, here again, when God called Abraham, well, there's only one man. Right. But you can see the polygamy again was introduced, but this time by Sarai, his wife. She could not conceive for so many years now. He said, "No, you know, take my maid." At that time, the civilization already, they have their own rules and their own tradition and their own culture. And which is even passed down to this day in China and many countries. Right? Like my father. He married the first wife. The first wife gave him two daughters. So of course among the brothers, among my father's own brother, they were saying, "No, you should take another one." Because in fact, my father's first brother and second brother, they are polygamists. You know, and they have, of course, sons. So the prophet suggests to him, get a mistress, get another wife. Maybe then you can have a son. If the first one can only give you daughters, you might need to have another one. So my father married my mother. And I was the firstborn. By that time then, my father's first wife also conceived and had a son. So polygamy is something which are in practicing culture even way back among Abraham's people when they were out there in Mesopotamia. So Abraham was called, but Abraham was only interested in only having a son through the wife that God promised him. But the wife cannot wait. Give him the maid, Hagar. And she conceived and produced, gave birth to a son called Ishmael. And that trouble starts. So, polygamy was never introduced by God. But God would allow it. But they saw when we came to the church age. When the church started, you find that in the New Testament, God instructed Paul to write the truth about one man, one wife. Even when Jesus came, he was already telling the people that a man should have only one wife. You know, because at that time the religious people came to him telling him a story, because the law requires that if a son in a family married a woman and he died, you know, the second brother would take over, and he also died, the third one would take over, because they need to produce a son as a continuation of the seed, you know. And Jesus Christ, you know, talking about, and then Jesus was talking about fornication. And then Jesus Christ said, in the beginning it was not so. In the beginning it was not so for a man to have more than a wife. And even Paul came later on, if a man who is a polygamist and accepted the Lord came into the church, if he had two or three wives, he can never hold the office. He cannot be a deacon, he can never be an elder of the church. So, in the gospel then we realize, God wants us to hold only to one. But today there are people, some Christians, like the Mormon, they allow more than one wife. Because they are practicing the Old Testament. We don't practice Old Testament. We practice the New Testament. The covenant that God gave. Grace has been sin in the eyes of God given to us. You see. So when God called Abraham then, he was taken out from, he was a brother, he was a son of Terah. Now Terah had three sons, Haran, Nahor, and Abraham. Abraham was the youngest. Now, you find that Abraham married Ishka, or, you know, Sarah. The father, Haran, called him, call her Ishka. And of course, Abraham called her Sarai, which means princess. But God changed her name later on to Sarah, which means queen, woman of many people, and mother of many. Now, you find that Haran's daughter has a daughter called Milcah and Ishka. Nahor, who is Haran's brother and Abraham's brother, married Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and gave birth to Bethuel. Now, so everything is kept under the gene pool. So now the story here, here this record that tells us about Milcah, she was also born, she also had children born unto the brother Nahor. They have 8 children. Alright, Nahor and Milcah produce 8 children, but here in the chart we don't want to know about the first 7 because they are out of the picture here. The last youngest was Bethuel. They gave birth to Bethuel. And this is the son of Nahor and Milcah that gave birth to Rebekah and Laban, the brother. And it is Abraham and Sarah's son, Isaac, that married Rebekah. So you can see this gene pool is being cut to produce the lineage that will produce Christ. And that's why maybe I wonder many times that when God called a man into the gospel, out of paganism, for example, and then he will share with his wife, And God will deal with the wife and they'll become, and she will become Christian. And the children as well later on. So God is bringing in this picture to let us see that if you have the faith, and God dealt with you. Now Abraham had this faith of God. He believed God. And God just wanted to keep the gene pool together in that family. And you actually seen that most of the time. Alright, not all the time. That they, the family who saved, the family, you will find that many of the children, they will also believe in the same. Some of them may be a rascal and run away, but they don't, they'll come back. We'll never know. Alright? Okay, now let's continue now. So when we look into chapter 23, here is the death of Sarai. Sarah. Sarah died at the age of 127. He was 127 years old when he died. That's when she died. And of course he died at Kiriath Arba. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now when Abraham was living in this place called Hebron, in that place dwelt the Jebusite as well as the Hittites. Now I want you to know the whole land of Canaan. Okay? There were mainly Canaanites, descendants of Cain's children. Hittite, the Perizzite, the Gigashite, and all these other. They're all Canaanites, descendants of Canaan. Now, not very far from to the west, towards Mediterranean, there are the people that are called the Philistines. Okay? They're called the Philistines. And these people, the Philistines, they were the descendants of one of Ham's sons, Mizraim. And they spread from Egypt and all the way up to this coastal region of the Mediterranean Sea. And they are, practically the whole land of Canaan were actually saturated and dwelt by the Canaanites. And God wanted to give this land to Abraham. God has a plan. God had a plan already. Do you know why he wanted Abraham to have that land? Because God wanted to wipe out all the Canaanites. Because that were the genes that were so bad. You know how bad the gene could be, right? Because after all, if you know the serpent seed, Cain was the son of the serpent. And Cain killed his own brother, Abel. Of course, his half-brother. Where did he get that attribute? Where did he get this spirit? Did he get from God? And that's what denominations do not understand, original sin. They do not understand the serpent seed. They believe that Cain was the son of Adam. Now you know the Bible tells us the son of Adam was the son of God. He was a son of God. He was created directly by God. Where is the possibility of Adam passing a bad spirit down to his son? Now you talk about heredity. You know, if your great-grandfather had some kind of cancer, and then your grandfather had some kind of cancer, there are likely chances that you will have cancer. Because it's in the gene. And did you read in the paper just a couple of days ago how the study has able to splice gene so precisely? They are now doing it even before the child is born. If the family history that there is a heart problem in the family history, they can look for that one particular RNA, splice it out, and put it somewhere in DNA so perfectly that this guy will grow up with no heart problem. That's scary, huh? Out of all the millions of the ribbon, the helix. They found it. They found the cause of that heart problem that goes from family down. That's why it's in the gene. And when God created Adam and Eve, they're supposed to be perfect gene, nothing will happen. But because someone came along, mixed with that, produced one who what we call discrepancy, a seed of discrepancy. It's not of harmony. God said everything bring forth his own kind, not bring forth dog, cat bring forth cat. But in the world today we have animals that are not horse nor donkey, and we call it a mule. We have an animal called liger, because it was not even a lion, it was not even a tiger, it's a half-half. And it's called liger. And we have zebra, they're all man-made. You see, man is always, Satan is using man to manipulate. Back in 19, in the early part of the 20th century, maybe in the 50s, I think. China had been experimenting. Chinese scientists, experimenting, trying to mix man's egg with a gorilla. The seed of a man and the seed of a gorilla, and they want to produce a gorilla man. Wow. But it didn't work. Because why? The affinity is too far. A donkey and a zebra, the affinity is close. That's why they can mix. The lion and tiger, you can mix. But you can never take a lion, perhaps a lion, with a civet cat or a bobcat and try to mix. You won't. It's too far. The affinity is too far. You see? Try to get a dog and a cat together and see where they mix. You can't, because the affinity is too far. Maybe a dog and a wolf, because they're close together, because many scientists believe that dogs came from wolf. Then you would have a wolf dog, or whatever you want to call the name. And that's why, because of the mixture, gene is disturbed. And that's why when you find later on that Noah and his wife gave birth to Shem, Ham and Japheth. Ham then had sexual intercourse with the mother. And already Mrs. Noah was actually from the Kenic line. And mixed, and since she and her husband, Noah was a pure Sadite, gave birth to three sons. They all have 50% of each part of the seed. But the mother mixed with the son. Mother is full, 100%. Mixed with the son, who is 50. You're getting 75 right now. And that's why, from Ham's line, later on came forth Canaan. And all his other children. And this is really bad seed. You know what about inbreeding, hybriding? You know how people breed cattle and how people breed horses, race horses? And some horse can run so fast, so strong, but they only last a few years and they die. Because your gene, you build up to such an extent, the thing will collapse. You see? And so, what God was doing then, at this time in Abraham's life, was to get him to go down and that his seed will possess the land of Canaan. And that's why later on, when Joshua went in across the river Jordan, across to the west part, across the river Jordan to the west, the land of Canaan, and God told Joshua to kill every one of them there. Oh, that's one of the things about it. And people said, wow, the God of the Bible is a terrible God. Huh? But people do not understand why. God today do not tell you to go and kill people now. Because that time, in those times, the Canaanite was very, very evil and very wicked. Few are good. You know, just like this case here in chapter 23. Sarah died. Abraham was living among the Canaanites. You know, they were okay, five people, fine. But their wickedness is such that when they want to go out there and kill, they will kill. But he was living among this group of people, the Hittites, and the wife died, and he said, okay, can I, he asked them, one of them said, can I buy your place? You know, a piece of land where you have a cave there. I want to bury my wife there. Would you allow me? And as the man said, yeah, you're free, because you know, I mean, the Bible tells us in verse 6, look at it. You look at verse 6, how the Bible says it. Verse 5, and the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. Oh, so Abraham must have lived such a life that he garnered respect from the people. Do you understand? And what did they call him? They call him, thou art Elohim. Wow. People say, no, the Bible didn't translate Elohim. It means you do not know Hebrew. The mighty prince is translated from the word Elohim. You know what Elohim means? Elohim means God. Magnificent. Because the word Elohim is just a word. Huh? Yahweh is Elohim. Yahweh is mighty. But not all Elohim are Yahweh, of course. Well, you know, American people, I mean, well, not America, we say, who is this guy who is the financial in America? Soros, George Soros. The God of George Soros is the green dollars. You know that, don't you? Yeah. The people worshipping the green dollars as God. So what is your God? Oh, this bottle of Brandy. Oh my. This bottle of champagne that is, this is 500 years old. You know how much it cost me? A few tens of thousands. You ever seen people drink bottles of champagne that worth, I mean, thousands of dollars? That's his God. That is his God. And they get drunk. Huh. Oh, some people will play 4Ds, and every time they go to Toto, because that's the God. Yeah, they just love this thrill of worshipping. Maybe I get it, maybe I don't. It's all this experience. Anything can be your God. He said, but the children of the Heath said to you, you are a mighty prince. You are worthy of respect. Reverend. I mean, they really respected Abraham because, you know, his life among them, among these heathens, among these wicked people, that's why they left him alone. Then no one bothered him because he didn't, you know, Abraham didn't cause no trouble. He even fought for those city out there, Sodom and Gomorrah, fight for them, huh? Actually, he was only interested in, you know, rescuing his nephew Lot. But anyway, he got everything down, and they were happy too. You can have all the loot. Abraham said, no, I don't want. Because in case later on he said that you make me rich. You see, Abraham lived a life that people respected. Because he believed in the God, he shined for the glory of God. And so how much more than we Christian? We should live our life that is right before the Lord. The people say, oh, you are really a Christian. You see. So they give it to him, and this man who owns it, in verse 9, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah. That's where they buried Sarah. And so Abraham buried her, and he mourned for Sarah. Chapter 24, now we come to God, or we will say Abraham, wanting to have a wife for his son Isaac. And Abraham was old and stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that rule over all that he had, but I pray thee, thy hand, put, I pray thee, thy hand upon my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son out of the daughters of the Canaanite among whom I dwell. Huh? Now, the Canaanite, remember, they are serpent seed. But we don't call them serpent seed like this anymore in the Bible. No matter how much is in their gene, the supernatural in their gene, they are human. Because when the serpent has sexual intercourse with Eve to produce Cain, Cain is part of mankind. Because in him is the gene of Eve, right? Do you remember? Because you and I, we came from our father and mother, half of the chromosome. Altogether, we have 23 chromosomes from each of our parents. 46 altogether. You see? So it depends on which part of the gene that we get from our parent that is more dominant. If we get it from our mommy, a more dominant gene, we will act like our mommy. Huh. So this is what we call about dominant genes. You see? That's why sometimes we understand that if a man married a woman and a man has certain feature, and I don't know whether you have seen it. I have seen couple with three girls. Alright? And their faces all look like the mother. That shows how strong the mother's gene is. You see? And of course there are also cases where you have children look so all like the father that none of them look even one bit of mother. So genetic is then what is more dominant. What, you know, and the recessive is being put down. So here we see now, Abraham called his servant, the oldest servant, and I believe you know the name, right? Eliezer. And make him promise, said that you swear to me that you don't take any of these daughters here, any of this woman in this place for my son to be wife. Now, Abraham was old already. I mean, he no longer was so adventurous anymore to move around and run and fight anymore, you know. You see? His wife is already 127 when she died. This probably is maybe a year, or maybe 2-3 years later. Or maybe probably 3 years later now. But then we find out that how old Isaac was when he married. So, if it was 3 years later, how old would be Abraham now? If Sarah is 130 years old, how old is Abraham? Huh? How old was Abraham older than, how many years different was there between Abraham and Sarah? 10 years. 10 years, right? Yeah, so this probably would be 140 years now. And Abraham died at 175 years. You know, so he wasn't as strong as he was. So he told his servant, Eliezer, which Eliezer was well known, this character. He was a very faithful servant. Very, very faithful. That's why Abraham trusts him with everything. And Eliezer would do exactly what Abraham wanted. And I will tell you this one day, Eliezer loved Abraham and loved Isaac very much. Because you are someone in the family that you are part of. That the master could trust you. So now, Eliezer, put your hand on my thigh. Alright, that's the loin. That's the thigh. Alright. Promise me that you don't take any woman here and give it to my son. I want you to go back. I continue to read. But you shall go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son, Isaac. Why is this so important for Abraham? Because you see, he wants to keep the gene pool as pure as it could be. Not the serpent. Not have anything to do with the serpent seed. You know. The nature of the serpent seed, when you multiply and it cross me, give more problem. That's why the Bible did not say much about the descendant of the other children. You know, the son of his brother and so on. You know, what happened to them? But they are all out there in this country, and many of them are not in the faith Abraham had. So he promised, go to my country, my kindred. Now, say the word my kindred. My country. Where did Abraham come from? He came from Mesopotamia, out there in Babylon, with the river Euphrates and Tigris, right? Go back to where? To my country, and go back to my kindred, not just my country. Go and find my kindred. Kindred means what? My relatives. So how many kindred that we see. Abraham had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. Right? And Abraham already married one of his brothers, that is Haran's daughter, Ishka, that is Sarah. Right? And then how many more daughters do we have? Nothing mentioned. So the only person to look for will be Lot, will be Nahor, who married Milcah, the daughter of Haran. And they have 8 sons. But the one that is left close to the father and mother is Bethuel. You see. And Bethuel had a daughter called Rebecca and a son called Laban. Go back and look for my relatives there. No matter how few they are, God will lead you there. Find them. But okay, Abraham probably have no idea whether we'll get a wife there or not. But he just believed God would do miracles. So, well, interestingly, and the servant said unto him, now, what happened if the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land? Must I need to bring my son again unto the land from where thou camest? Abraham says, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. God call me out, I will not go back, nor my seed will go back to that land. You go to that land, pick the wife and bring her. But what happened if the wife don't come? Then he said, the Lord of heaven who took me from my father's home and from the land of my kingdom which speak unto me and swear unto me saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from them. Oh, he believed and he told Eliezer, God will send an angel to guide you. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you'll be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Very interesting. When I first read this, that's how I wrote the book. You know, Revelation, truth and love. Revelation, truth and love. 3 words. You know, Abraham was called out from a country that God doesn't want him to be a part of anymore to a new place that God said, I will give it to you. Now, when Abraham had a son over there in this new place, he doesn't want his son to go back there. Because you don't want to go back from where you came. Like the song we sang. When we come up from some place that is, we came up from the world of sin unto Jesus Christ. This world no longer is our home. Right? So, we don't want to entertain any of these things that corrupts our mind. I'm not telling you that you cannot read books or watch a movie. Huh? But don't be part of the world where your activity is so locked in that it holds you down. So we are no longer going back in the world of sin. You see? So you find that when Abraham came out, God gave him the truth. Now, Isaac was a representation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rebecca was to be a type of the church. Huh? And Eliezer, the servant, was a type of the Spirit of God doing the work. Now, Abraham told him, don't bring my son back to that place. Isaac represents the Word of God. That's Christ. Rebecca represents the church. And you know one thing? The story we realize that Eliezer said, okay, I'll do exactly as you say. Now, do you think it's easy for Eliezer to really look for a woman? I mean, which woman to look for? Your kindred. I mean, there are brother and sister, there's still nephew out there, there's still niece out there. But which one? So, the story went, while he was going, he prayed, of course. Eliezer was a prayerful man. And then he went all the way up, you know, all the way from Hebron. I don't know how long the journey takes. By camel, you know, you have to have a, you know, camel to take your all the belonging, and you have Elisha went also with some servants of the house, took all the way back to Haran in Mesopotamia. And all the while he was praying the Lord to guide him. So he came to this place, a well. And then he was looking that, oh, at this well, there are a lot of people coming to, it was evening time, okay, it was evening time. Of course, evening time is the time when you have to make sure that your animal got drinks and food and everything before you retire. So there were a lot of them coming to collect waters, and animals were there. And he was praying, says, Lord, if there is this woman that I approached for water for me, and if she said to me that I was a feed and water your camel, that will be the sign. I think, what can he do anyway? Because we've got to ask God for direction, you know? Huh? You know, if I ask this woman, of course you cannot say that, Lord, you do everything. I sit here. No, if I ask this woman if he will give me some drink, and she gave it to me, and she said that I will also give drink to her, your camel, then I know. And true enough, here came Rebecca. And she approached Rebecca for a drink. And Rebecca said, here, drink. And after he had drink, he said, I will also water I will show, make sure that your camels get the water too. And then he asked, interesting here, verse 22. And it came to pass, as the camel had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel of weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekel weight of gold. Now, a shekel here is about 6 gram. I mean, it's kind of a small piece of gold. Huh? But the Bible here says what? A golden earring. Now this is a translation that is very common. But the Hebrew word, it's a piece of jewel, or jewelry. Okay? And many times the same word is translated earring, nose ring, or just a jewel. So because the word is not very clear. Okay? So we do not know what, but of course back in those days, the Mesopotamian, back in those days, you know, the Mesopotamian was a great empire, the Babylonian. Right? Babylonian, they were a big, great empire at that time, and of course they were heathens, practically. And people wear earring, gold ring, nose ring, whatever ring that they have, like today, even modern days. People with, you know, people who don't even, we were called decent guys, dressed in suit and everything, but they have 3 earrings around the ear. And some even have one in the nose, and some even have that in the tongue. You know the tongue? I don't know what they call that. Is there a name for that when they put it?
Piercing.
Why would people do that? Pierce their tongue and put that stuff in there. And you know there are cases where many of them get bacteria. They suffer. The whole tongue will go. That's vanity. What do you want to put nose everywhere in your faces? Put, you know, all the pin here with all the gold. People will do that crazy, isn't it? And we don't know what it was here. That it was men here. But it was an offering to Rebecca. And then, of course, Elisha said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I'm the daughter of Bituah, the son of Milcah, which she bore unto Nahor. Oh, that's an interesting story. Now, you go to all the way up there, you have a village. I mean, it's not like Singapore. Huh? The population at that time was scattered all over the large land, a little village here, and he passed by there, and there was this well, and it happened to be by chance, no, by God's grace, that Rebecca happened to be there, coming as usual every evening, color water. You know, and when asked, who are you? And she tells her, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah who bore who unto Nahor. Oh, that's interesting now. Lilith immediately when heard that name would know who Nahor was. You see. So that was a good sign. That was the thing. And that's why I said, when God does something for His people. Now, you tell me, bring up, what? Does God care about the world? Does God care about this world? The Bible simply tells this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Right? And He loved the world. He hates sin. He loved the sinners. But He wants sinners to come. But as long as sinners do not come to God, He don't deal with them. He gives you the word. And how do I become a Christian? How do you become a Christian? It's because you heard the word. And when the hurt stir within you, you know you need a Savior. You must have a way like Abraham. Abraham was living out there in Mesopotamia with all the idols, worshippers up there. And they have, of course, a knowledge of Yahweh. And you know, many of those people at that time who worship Yahweh, at the same time, they also worship idols. Like today. What religion is that is Christian? They worship idols. At the same time, they worship God. That's Catholicism. And even others too. Go to Brazil. There are Catholics there. They worship God. They worship voodoo. All this idol, nobody called that. Well, anyway, that's a little thing that they worship. You know? And when if you want to harm somebody, go to Brazil and find out who is true. Now. I've seen this documentary scanning. The people want to harm somebody, they go and seek these witches, and they're Catholic. And you want to harm somebody, okay, take a picture, a photograph, and put on this voodoo doll. And they mumbo jumbo, and then, well, you know, how they call you, they invoke the name, Espirito Santos and all this, you know how they use Spanish word? Yes. And then they pierce the needle. You ever watched a documentary? I saw it. And they were actually documentary, and it really scared me. The cameraman was following this person who wanted to harm somebody. They went to this place, this little strange little room of all kinds of candlelight. And a woman used a pin, poke into this idol, okay, into this rag doll, this voodoo doll. Or whatever, mumbo, all this, and all the signs of the cross, and the water, and whatever. And then the man who took him there said, follow me, go to the emergency hospital now, ER, and wait and see what happened. They were there. An ambulance came, a man came, yelling away. What was he yelling about? Pain in the joint, pain in the arm, pain in the leg. Went for an x-ray. Needle was all inside her. Inside him. Believe that. I couldn't believe it. That was his enemy. The needle was there because the Buddha was born. You find it impossible? You do not know witchcraft. That's why I said a lot of people do not understand. Have you seen a shrunken head? Have you seen a shrunken head? A head that's being shrunk into as small as this size. Yes. I already told you once. I can't remember, I don't even remember whether it was him was Adrian or not. The astronaut went up to heaven. I mean, not head up to heaven, they went up to space. Right? And he was the one, when he went up to space, he saw what he saw out there. He came back to Earth. He was searching for some answer to this creation. You know? So he went. That's why this was one of the documents. He went all over the world to find an answer to all these mysteries of life, mysteries. And he went to one place in Africa. The cameraman was with him. And they made a poem on this man who levitated on the beach. There was nothing. They inspect everything around. No string, nothing. The man levitated a few feet up into the air. How you do it? Now this is not David Copperfield. This man is a what you call a wizard or whatever. Then he went to another place. I can't remember what it was. They went to the cave where this group of devil worshippers, they worship. It was in a cave, dark room. The camera, what did the camera use? The camera used night vision. So everything you see is greenish color, but it's bright. They worshipped him. They worshipped him and they prayed. And he just came up focusing. The camera just focusing. And the people pray, and then all their mouth flows out what they call ectoplasm. It flows up something from their mouth. Came up flowing out like liquid, like gel. And later on, they're like, no, everything's over. The worshiper left. Then the camera turned on the light and look what's on the floor. Liquid stuff. They take a match and light it. The man said, light it and see what happened. It caught fire. They just ooze up from the mouth. Oh, they were just saying all this. Now a lot of people don't realize it. The devil has power. That's why I said this before. There are three spirits. The spirit of God, your spirit, and the spirit of the devil. Huh? If you do not know how powerful the devil is, you succumb yourself and yield to him, you're fine. A lot of people don't realize, you know these hexes, the Hekoi hex, black magic. Yes. There are people who practice that and cast a spell on people. It works, but it won't work on you if you are a Christian. And I think that Brother Tiang and the family would know. My wife, Sister Jackie, would know. My wife, before she was a Christian, somebody put hex on her, she saw chicken running across the room all the time. A black chicken that was not to be found. Keep on running and all this. Until one day when she became a Christian, and I think when she said for secondary one, that this vision disappeared. You do not know the power, and don't believe that it doesn't work. It is. That is why you see in the Bible about witches, why did God say that the witches are able to be put to death? Anybody who practices this put to death because you're contacting the other world that not to be crossed over. That's powerful enough. Elisha now realized that he had found the answer. And said, is there any place in your family's home for me to lodge in? He said, yeah, sure. And he went and lodged them. So of course, he began to narrate the story to Bitwa, and say, oh, my master, son need to have a wife. And the Lord answered me, and Rebecca came along. So, can I get her back to my master's home now? And they said, okay, let her stay for another 10 days. We want to be with her for a while before. But said, don't delay my timing. Let's just ask her now. Ask Rebecca whether she will go with. And they asked Rebecca, would you go? She said, yes! I like it. She doesn't never think once. Let me think for a while. No. She said, yes. Rebecca responded. I guess that why Elisha was there for maybe a night or two or what, I don't know how long. That Rebecca, when Elisha told the story to them. And I believe that Rebecca sensed that he was a servant who knows so much about the master's love and the love of his master's son, who's going to marry her. Wow! And I think the heart beat must be more than 100 times a minute. That desire, yes, that's the man for me, that's the man I will marry. Well, because to hear the Abraham's faith, to take a wife all the way back and to bring him all the way back to the home which God had called him, that I will give it to you. Wow, that's something. There must be something about it. So Rebecca went with Elisha back home. Now that's what I said here. The word of God do not follow truth. What comforts? Word comforts or love comforts? Oh, Bible says God Himself, love comforts. No, love does not comfort. The Word of God was first. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What comforts? The sea comforts or the fish comforts? Which was first? Huh? The sea comforts. You're always getting wrong. A simple question I've been asked many times and you still get it wrong, Sister Lucy. What comforts? Sabbath or man? What comforts? Man or Sabbath? Sabbath? Oh my. You're all getting it wrong the other way. Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. Man was created, Sabbath was something that came later as a law. What comforts? Fish or ocean? Fish or water? Fish was there first before then God said, I'll make water for the fish to swim in. See? So what comforts? The word or love? Word. Because word was with God. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. Was God. The word was God, the Bible said. And from the word of God proceeds the love for. And God created man. And that's what Rebecca represents love, and Isaac was the word. And the love will respond to the word. The word do not follow love. Well, you know, it's a sad case, but several years ago, sometimes it's so strange about marriage proposal. The woman proposed to a man, will you marry me? How many of you sisters said to a man, will you marry me? Or is it the man that says, will you marry me? Right? Always the man that proposed. Right now. If the woman proposed to a man, will you marry me? Well, she's in charge then. Right? Right, anyway, you propose or she proposed. You see, it is always the man that proposed first. Right? Will you marry me? But there's a strange thing that happened that I know of. That the brother said, I'm not going to marry unless the woman proposed to me. Well, it just happened, something happened. And she said to the, and he said, the woman proposed to him. The woman said, no, I didn't. But I heard you. Something very strange. She didn't say it, but he heard it. What happened? You see, and what we look at it is that when the word is the one that will attract the love to come to him. Christ is the word. He produces this love out towards us. And we in turn, when we got this love of Christ, we respond this love back to him. The Bible said, you know, we love him because he first loved us. Right now, he first loved us and laid down his life for us. That's why we respond to him. Not that we love him first now. The Bible said, no man seek after God, but God seek after man. That Jesus gave a parable about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one sheep went out astray into the mountains and all these things. What would he do? And Jesus said he would put the 99 and went out to look for that one lost sheep. You and I are the lost sheep. You see, the word will go out and seek for that one love to come to him. And Eliezer did a good job. You see. So I want you to know that the true faith of Abraham, that the true seed will always follow that line. But as to the servant seed, that is why Abraham said, don't you take a woman from this Canaanite and give it to my son to be wife. No. Don't ever do that. And you just get into more trouble. Okay, let us continue here now. So, they return back, on the journey back. And we see in chapter 24, verse 54. And they eat and drink, and he and the man that were with him, and tarry all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And verse 58, when they asked Rebecca, and will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now, you know the word that Rebecca said, I will go. Would you go with this man down to Canaan land where you be the wife of Isaac? And she said, I will go. Now, the moment you say, I will, it's binding. That's a bit troll, huh? It's binding. Yes, you know, well, it's very important to not say, I love you to somebody. I mean, unless you really love the person, I love you. That's binding. the word I will. I will go with you. So now, verse 62. Oh, 61. And Rebecca arose and her damsel, of course Rebecca helped her maids as well, and they rode upon a camel and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoth, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camel were coming. Now this is the regular exercise, regular habit of Isaac. That at evening time he will go out to the field and he will meditate and he will pray. You know, I mean, this is a big land. Not like HDB. Where can you go? Go to the car park. That's what we used to do, you know, back in those days, back in the 70s, 80s. You know, there are not so many houses. No, many. We used to go to the car park. You know, there are not many cars. So I would sit there with a brother and we pray. You know, but nowadays, of course, you have to pray in the room or maybe go to a park. And of course, there are still a lot of people anyway to find a place to pray. But so this is the habit of Isaac. He got even time to pray. And when he was praying, meditating, here he saw the camel train coming. Right. And look at what he says here. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had asked unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Wherefore she took a veil and covered herself. Now the camel train was coming, you know, I don't know how many days already, and coming near, and Isaac saw the camel train coming. Of course he recognized, and he just walked towards it. As he walked towards it, Rebecca saw him coming. You know, apparently must be someone to come and greet the camel train. And he asked Eliezer, "Who is that man that is coming?" "Oh, that is a master's son." And merely, the Bible, interestingly, I always like the way it is written. In verse 64, she lifted up eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dropped. She lighted off the camel. The word lighted off, it's just a word in English. But in the Hebrew, it's interesting. She was so excited, she could hardly get off the train. You know, how tall is a camel? You know, she was in a hurry to get off, literally. And she just might jump off. And then cover her a veil, you know, put a veil across her face. Because that's the husband is coming. You know, so how excited is she? And how excited are you? Monster's coming! And then the dead, I mean, of course, the veiling of it, of course, is to show the bride being veiled with the word, you know, in the sense that you humble yourself, surrender yourself to the word of God. You see? Alright? And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebecca, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And Isaac brought her, the word of truth brought love into the tent. That's why I wrote that song, "Into Thy Chamber." Part of it. That's the chamber. The Old New Testament. The tent. The word will take us into the tent and make love. So Rebecca and Isaac were married. Of course, the Bible tells us that he was comforted. Because when the mother died, you know how he felt. Because, you know, he loved his mother dearly. See? So now they're married for someone to take care of him as well. You know, motherly love sort of thing, wife love, is all related together. Is that feminine presence, the feminine touch is so different from a man's touch. You see, to have a mother to take care of, to have a wife. And what is God to us? No, God is not just father to us, right? God is also mother to us, feeding us. You see, father disciplining. See, and yet we are the wife of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants us to love Him as much as He loved us. Submit ourselves to Him. So, Isaac married Rebecca. Let us continue a little bit more. And again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare Zimran, Joshon, Midan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. And all these were the names. Of course, those the children that Abraham produced, they live all out there. But Abraham had only one true son. And that is Isaac. Because that was the son that God promised Abraham to Sarah. So how many sons did Sarah have? Only one. Is that alright? Sarah had only one son. And God sees her from giving birth to others. Because Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ. God had only one son. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? Because that Jesus Christ came through the seed of a woman, Mary. Is that alright? Yes. And we all came from different parents. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Alright. So we'll just stop there and continue next week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you for truth. May we be truly like Abraham, the faith still looking up to you, Lord, for all our needs. Even to trust you, Lord, to provide, as Abraham trusts you to provide a wife for Isaac. We thank you, Father, for the word that is recorded down for our admonition to help us in this life. May we be faithful as Eliezer was faithful to his master. That we be faithful to you, Lord, in all that you want us to do. Holding fast to thy word, holding fast to instruction, and believe that you will send angels to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. So we thank you, Father. We pray the Lord we truly would have this great love of Abraham in our heart, and the great love of Isaac also, Lord, in our heart for his wife. And we thank you, Father, asking that you bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen.